Hello. You're listening to the free edition of The World in Brief from The Economist. As a reminder, if you subscribe to The Economist, you'll get access to a deeper look at the day ahead, updated 3 times a day. If you are already an Economist subscriber, visit economist.com/espresso or visit our Espresso app to start listening. Here's today's free edition. This is The World in Brief from The Economist. Our top stories. Donald Trump is expected to turn himself in on Tuesday to face the first criminal charges ever to be brought against a former American president. A grand jury in New York voted to indict Mr. Trump for his alleged role in covering up hush money payments to an adult film actress. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office said it had contacted Mr. Trump to coordinate his surrender. The former president, who will reportedly fly in his private plane to New York on Monday before his court hearing on Tuesday, has denied wrongdoing in the case. For the 13th consecutive week, hundreds of thousands of Israelis protested against the government's proposals to weaken the judiciary. Earlier, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, paused the legislation so that negotiations could take place. But many of his critics, who seemed to view that as a stunt, vowed to maintain pressure until the measures are withdrawn entirely. Violent storms swept across America's South and Midwest, killing at least 18 people. In Little Rock, the state capital of Arkansas, a tornado tore off roofs and flipped vehicles, while elsewhere, tens of thousands of people lost power. The National Weather Service's Storm Prediction Center recorded 58 reports of tornadoes on Friday. Russia assumed the presidency of the UN Security Council, which Ukraine's president said demonstrated the institution's, quote, total bankruptcy. The post rotates among members each month. The last time Russia held it was at the war's start in February 2022. Separately, the abbot of the Kiev-Pechersk Lavra Monastery in Ukraine's capital was placed under house arrest over his alleged support for the invasion, a charge that he denied. Japan's Prime Minister, Kishida Fumio, joined former residents of Tomioka near the destroyed Fukushima nuclear power plant to reopen parts of the town. Entry restrictions, in place since an earthquake and a tsunami caused meltdowns at the plant in 2011, are being gradually lifted. Some 30,000 residents are still unable to return. The latest easing comes in time for cherry blossom season. The IMF approved a $15.6 billion loan to Ukraine, designed to help the country's economy recover from Russia's invasion. The program will aim to ensure Ukraine's financial stability and help it to, quote, undertake critical structural reforms, the IMF said. Some $2.7 billion will be available for Ukraine immediately. The rest will be released over the next 4 years. Pope Francis returned to the Vatican after a short spell in hospital and said that he would take part in a busy upcoming schedule of Easter events. The 86-year-old pontiff was admitted to a hospital in Rome on Wednesday with symptoms of bronchitis, but responded well to treatment, according to officials. For his part, Francis commented, quote, I'm still alive, you know. And word of the week. Xinjiang, the Chinese name for Tibet, which is increasingly used by the country's nationalist tabloid, Global Times. That's The World in Brief from The Economist. You can hear interviews and analysis from our journalists, including our current affairs podcast, The Intelligence, by searching for The Economist on your podcast app, or by asking your smart speaker to play the latest Economist podcast. To enjoy all of our journalism, including the full version of The World in Brief and each week's full edition in audio, please consider taking out a subscription. To get the best introductory offer wherever you are around the world, just go to economist.com/briefingoffer.